This is Starts With An H, Sounds Like Potential, a Stranger Things fanfic written by Formosus Iniquis and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13, with the pairing Steve Harrington, Eddie Munson. With additional tags for fluff, Eddie Munson has a crush on Steve Harrington. Steve Henderson. Steve Harrington and Dustin Henderson have a sibling relationship. Wingman Dustin Henderson. Author's notes after the podfic. People wanna talk about the future. Don't wanna linger on the past. Just wanna reach the real you inside. Forget the guts and rejection. Leave the things that separate. Build on a trust that we must stand on. Don't wanna talk about the weather. He got to Hawkins a little later than everyone else. He wasn't born and raised in the 6 miles of town with the same 8 people his whole life. There was a whole social services kerfluffle that meant he didn't land in this small town hellhole until he was the ancient age of 13. He knows he's destined to forever be the freaky new kid with the shaved head and the group home eyes who joined in the 8th grade. But even without all that, he is fucking positive that there was no Henderson in any of his 3 graduating classes. Yet here, Henderson, the supposed younger, sits, painting him a mystery week after week. Steve said this, Steve did that, Steve may very well be a delusion if the way the others giggle and sigh every time he gets brought up is any indication. Because it goes like this. Henderson, Dustin, is a fellow Hawkins transplant. Son of a single mother, divorced or widowed, Eddie knows enough now to be sure that fueled the Hawkins gossip mill for weeks, who brought her young son with her. Son. Singular. Dustin joined the 1st grade class of Michael Wheeler, Lucas Sinclair, and William Byers, and that is, as they say, history. If there had been sons, plural, this mysterious older brother should have, by all of Eddie's figurings, joined Hawkins Junior High right around the same time as a miserable Eddie. There should have been whispers about 2 new kids. There should have been someone for him to commiserate with, befriend. Yet week after week, young Dustin sits at Hellfire, spinning yarns of a brother who was, what, homeschooled? Sent to a private military academy? Boarding school? Stood at home with the mysterious father that Dustin doesn't mention? And Eddie knows enough about fathers that go unmentioned not to break the silence. But suddenly decided after he graduated to come join his mother and brother in Hawkins? Because the thing is, Hawkins isn't that big. If pressed, he's pretty sure he could name at least 90% of both of the classes he was supposed to graduate with, and at least 75% of the group he stuck with this year. He'd at the very least recognize them on sight, and not just because he's dealt to the greater portion of the high school. Eddie pays attention. There are only like 400 students at the high school at any time. He should, by all accounts, be able to say, oh yeah, that scrawny bespectacled loser is Steve Henderson. Except maybe there is no Steve Henderson. He's already faintly sure there's no Susie. So what's one more fictional friend from Dustin Henderson? Maybe this Steve is just the product of a fractured mind brought on by too much hands-on parenting. Eddie knows people think all of his bad behavior is the product of under-parenting, but if the opposite causes imaginary siblings, he'll take the hand he's got, thank you very much. Because, sure, he's doing his best to be third-time lucky with this whole high school thing. He does know that compared to the should-be starry-eyed but actually unsettlingly wary freshman, he is an ancient being of chaos. Yes, he feels every ounce of the 5-year gap between 19 and 14 when he speaks to them. But beyond all of that, he's still young, still capable of swooning now and then. And the now is when Dustin describes his big brother, and the then was all of the other times Henderson, the older husband, detailed. Well, that's because I'm not really sorry, Mike. Henderson is on a tear already when he makes it to Hellfire. I told you, I have plans already. It's not that big a deal, Lucas placates. We can do it another day. My parents won't be out of town another day, Mike sneers. Will, you wouldn't ditch out at an all-night Nintendo marathon for a date with Steve, would you? He says it like Will is the voice of the populace or something. Maybe he is. And going by the way Will flushes a bright pink up to his bowl cut, the voice of the people would, in fact, rather go out with Steve Henderson than hang out in a basement playing video games. It's not a date, he's my brother. And yeah, dude, I'm gonna skip out on watching you scream at Mario to go to an all-night Stephen King movie marathon, Dustin says. And swoon. That sounds like a dream. Like, Steve would ever do something that cool. You can just say your mom won't let you come over because my parents aren't going to be home. Mike is surlier than usual, a trait he has noticed happens a lot when Henderson the Elder gets broached. Eddie's theories range from misplaced sibling jealousy to repressed queer crush on Steve. Come on, kiddies, save the tantrums for your mommies. He doesn't have a taste for it, regardless of the answer. Peabody is a bitch he's glad to be seeing the back of, and Wheeler can go from being an angel to the kind of brat you do want to narc on just a little. The rest of us have hordes to slay, maidens to save, things that don't involve listening to your playdate fall apart. He desperately wants to ask Henderson where their movie night is taking place, because it sounds amazing, and not at all because he wants to finally see this mysterious brother. It wasn't even mine, Henderson is moaning, by the time Eddie makes it from O'Donnell's to the cafeteria. He wasn't that late. 5 minutes to plead his case for his grade at most. But Henderson could monologue with the best of them, and it took about as much to get the kid going as it did Eddie, which was saying something. And you and Erica made fun of what was under my bed, Lucas says with a smirk and a roll of his eyes. What was under your bed? Will asks. We're not going to let Dustin get out of the fact that his mom found his Star Trek porn that easily, Mike shrieks. He sounds like he's trying to mind his volume, but it's still too loud for a public venue. You gave me shit for weeks about that penthouse you found under my bed. We gave you shit because you stole it from your dad, Lucas corrects. Not that anyone but Eddie hears it. Because as Lucas speaks, Dustin is shouting, It wasn't fucking mine! It has to be Steve's, but try telling my mom anything about her favorite son. Three sets of disbelieving eyes look over at Dustin. But it's Mike who says, There's no fucking way anyone is going to believe it was Steve's, dude. Just give it up. I don't even like Star Trek that much. Eddie has been having dreams of a mystery boy with a gorgeous head of hair and Dustin's sweet smile. He likes her, but will pretend to get scared so he has a reason to hide his face in Eddie's neck. And when he gets there, he's a biter. Now, Henderson, what kind of self-respecting nerd doesn't enjoy the dulcet tones of Mr. Spock? Henderson wrinkles his little nose. What a twerp. Or maybe he's thinking of his brother Zine again. It's okay. But who goes to sci-fi for philosophy when you could watch space battles and Death Stars? Eddie spares a prayer for Dustin's English grade. Well, at least one Henderson has taste. He's never had a younger sibling in Hellfire before. Gareth and Joey are only children, and Jeff is way older than his miracle baby sister, so it is a treat to watch the way Henderson goes red, white, and then green as he cycles through a series of emotions surrounding his brother so fast it gives Eddie a headache. Dude, he probably bought it for you not knowing what it was, Mike says. It's not like Steve is watching Star Trek. You didn't see it. Maybe it was a prank? Eddie tunes them out, returning to the Steve in his imagination. They're slipping out of the movie they had just finished, the one they bought tickets for. Steve giggles. Eddie thinks he'd have a nice laugh, thinks he makes his brother laugh a lot, and tugs him into the voyage home. You gonna think of your favorite captain while we hide in the back row, Stevie? Kirk is an admiral now. He has been for 3 movies. Some fan you are. He wonders if it's creepy, this mental file he's compiling on Henderson's brother. It's not like he knows the guy. Truly a backwards fucking miracle in this 2-stoplight nothing of a town. But Eddie's always liked something that he can sink his teeth into and pull apart. That's what Steve Henderson feels like to him. Like if a Rubik's Cube was also a steak. He's lost track of the metaphor in his own head. It's whatever. Because Steve Henderson loves horror movies, but watches sappy romance flicks with his mom when they both have the same day off. Steve Henderson's favorite color is yellow, but he only wears it on days that he can barely get out of bed. Dustin says that like it's a warning sign for the others. Steve has his yellow sweater on today, explaining away his absence at the arcade that afternoon. Steve Henderson could have any girl he wants. This factoid Eddie takes with salt, lime, and tequila. But he never goes on dates anymore and only hangs out with his best friend and coworker. Steve Henderson baked a brownie so good Jeff moaned in the middle of Hellfire, but can only over or undercook pasta when he tries. Dustin loves his brother. Dustin thinks he's the worst person to ever grace this side of the planet. That, Eddie thinks, is at least typical for siblings, barring the Byers, who seem to be so close-knit they'd put the Bradys to shame. Henderson, my man, why the long face? We're about to begin the most dangerous leg of your quest yet. Hellfire was getting a delayed start. The drama club was actually using their prop closet. Go figure. It was just him and Henderson lurking outside, so Eddie did have to find his fun where he could get it. Steve and Robin went up to Indianapolis, and they're going to be gone the whole weekend. And yeah, he probably could have guessed it was about Big Brother Henderson. Dusty has the cutest case of hero worship when he wasn't wishing Big Brother dead. They say they aren't dating, and it's just for her birthday, but a weekend trip, seriously, it screams romance. And you're mad they didn't bring you? I could have been out of the way. Do you know the kind of specialty tech shops they have up there? I need some things you can't get in Hawkins to improve Cerebro, and it's twice as much to get the mail order. I could make myself scarce for a couple hours so they can get it on. He smacks the bill of Dustin's cap, knocking it down over his eyes, but nobly refrains from giving him a noogie. Dusty, if you ever want to pop your little Morbin girl's cherry, maybe don't say shit like get it on. Susie is an angel. Don't be crude, man. Dustin's hands are quick as they smack him away. That must be another little brother trait. An angel, huh? Another point in the girlfriend isn't real category. How many imaginary friends do you have, kid? A girlfriend in Utah and a brother that no one but your party has seen. The rest of Hellfire starts to trickle in, having used their time waiting for their table more wisely than Eddie has. Destin's comment is delayed only momentarily as he says hi to the rest of the freshmen that he definitely saw only a few minutes ago. For the record, Susie is very real. And you... It's the way he trails off that makes Eddie nervous. The way a light goes on in his eyes that sets the hair at the back of his neck on end. His danger instincts are finely honed. And that's the same I'm smarter than you look Henderson was wearing when he managed to sniff out half the traps Eddie had laid out last session. You should meet Steve. I bet I could get him to pick us up next week instead of Nancy. He thinks this must be what the raccoons behind the trailer park feel like. The obvious trap of the shiny silver cage that's been baited so sweet it's hard to resist walking in anyway. Sure, Henderson. Tell the mysterious brother to stop by. Have him bring one of those zines that definitely belongs to him. Destin is especially vicious as he dispatches every creature that Eddie throws at him that day. It's hard to be that upset. He's feeling pretty fat and happy, sitting in whatever animal control rodent trap Henderson thinks he's got him in. The next week's session comes in a haze of vague daydreams and intense prep. He's had Steve Henderson on the brain for so long that he all but forgot about his little tête-à-tête with Dustin the week before. Forgot, if not for the way that baby Henderson is vibrating at the Hellfire table when Eddie arrives. Steve is coming to get us from Hellfire today. Eddie personally thinks this doesn't quite deserve the level of reaction that it's getting. But Henderson is so worked up, no one even needs to prompt him to keep going. He had to leave right after his weekend trip to go deal with lawyers and shit. Are they still... Lucas trails off. He's clearly concerned, but for all that Eddie hates that the kid is looking down the barrel of a jock life, he is extremely emotionally adept. Mom and Steve both said it was handled now. They won't answer me when I ask any questions. Ominous. Everything about Steve Henderson was so fucking weird. A kid who didn't exist all through high school, that he's never seen in town, who has lawyers now? Maybe Hop could? The kid started to ask, hopeful. Mom says that it's Steve's business, and we should all stay out of it unless he asks for our help. Will responds by rote, something he's clearly already tried before. So the infamous Steve Henderson is going to grace us with his presence today. Eddie knows the answer already, but like most of his vices, he can't resist indulging. He's taking us all out for ice cream after, Destin agrees. You could come too, Eddie. I'm sure Steve wouldn't mind. Steve minds everything, Mike grouses. Steve always buys your triple scoop sundae. Eddie thinks Steve Henderson would have elegant fingers. He thinks about how they might toy with the straw of his milkshake when he smiles, coy and teasing at Eddie, who he's charmed by. This Steve lets Eddie snatch the cherry from his drink, blushes when he gets a stem returned tied in a knot by Eddie's tongue. Well, if Steve is buying, who am I to refuse an invitation? He does not end Hellfire early because Steve Henderson is coming. He does, by pure coincidence, need to piss 15 minutes before things are set to wrap up. If that gives him enough time to clean himself up a bit, that's just luck. This isn't for Steve Henderson. His bathroom break, and definitely not pre-date primp session, puts him at the back of the pack when Steve Harrington's maroon Beamer pulls into the lot. It feels a little bit like sophomore year again. when his hair was in another awkward stage of growing out and curled around his ears. He didn't have his mom to help him with the curls anymore, and he didn't know what to do with them now that they seemed to twist and turn in new directions post-buzz. He'd caught the sweetest-looking boy with puppy dog eyes staring, and he'd been so embarrassed about getting caught he touched his own locks. Hair sprayed into oblivion and locked firmly into place. The touch was ripped away, and a shy, what-can-you-do smile was shared between the two of them. It feels a bit like junior year, when Steve Harrington broke the keg stand record as a sophomore. Rounding the corner from tipsy into drunk, or maybe bypassing it altogether for blackout, he wandered over into Eddie's domain. He had that same shy little wave, but a stronger confidence. He sidled up to Eddie and wrapped a curl around a finger. He tugged just a bit, the way kids do when they want to see if it'll bounce back.
"You know, you'd be pretty if you were a girl."
The slip-slide of his definitely drunk tone didn't take Eddie out at the knees any less. The car curves up closer to the front steps, and Henderson is shaking like a rocket leaving Canaveral. He actually starts to take a step toward the still-moving car when four hands clamp down on him, saving Steve, last name to be determined, from a vehicular manslaughter charge. Eddie is the last to release him when he hears that car slide into park. The engine has barely had time to rumble to a stop before Steve Harrington is out of it. A toothy smile splits his face, and, hidden behind Byers and Wheeler, Eddie watches as Steve Harrington proceeds to engage in the nerdiest fucking handshake he has ever seen. Steve Harrington finishes dying by what seems to be lethal lightsaber disembowelment and waves at the other three teens. "All right, let's rock and roll if you twerps want ice cream before I drop you off. Joyce will kill me if you're late."
"Steve, can Eddie come with us?"
As Henderson asks, Eddie now sees the exact size and shape of the trap he is in. The actually dweeby dungeon master and drug dealer, forced to watch the hot, once cool, older brother bow to the obligation of Midwestern courtesy now that he's been ambushed with Eddie's existence. Or worse, he'll have to stand there and pretend to be unbothered while King Steve shoots both Henderson's hopes and Eddie's dreams in the face with one curled lip. He never could have imagined the furrow of confusion between his brows, the way lips wrap themselves around his name, tasting it. He hadn't, in his many fantasies, pictured golden brown eyes, though he often thought of them snapping up to him like they were now. A rosy blush blooms across Steve's face. He has the same shy finger wave he did as a freshman. "Depends, Dust. Are you going to give up your shotgun dibs, or are you going to make your troop leader sit in the back with the rest of the party?" He watches as if in slow motion as Henderson lunges for Steve. The elder is laughing as the younger wraps his arms around his neck. There is something very intensely attractive about the lingering jock of it all. How Steve is still upright, even as his teenage brother dangles from his neck. "You know it's Dungeon Master. You get it right with Erica." "I have a lot of respect for Erica. The thing she does with goblins and kobolds is masterful. You asked me about the lead-up to a trap so obvious it felt like an Eagle Scout showing his little cubbies poison ivy." It's bitchy and nerdy in all the best ways. And then Steve looks up at him and winks. "No offense, Munson." "None taken, Stevie." That seems to catch them both by surprise. The lack of a certain last name to fall back to, and weeks of imagining what it might be like to interact with a guy who is and isn't right in front of him, has Eddie overly familiar.
I drove here, though.
His van stands like a monolith alone in the middle of an empty parking lot.
Oh. But I could meet you there? Are you going to the Dairy Queen by the library or the haunted one?
It's not actually haunted, Byers pipes in with frightening sincerity.
But yeah, the haunted one,
Steve says with a boy next door grin.
Then I will meet you and your charges there, Sir Henderson.
He bows, and only immediately regrets it, now that the once Harrington lord of the school is out of his line of sight. His brain feels like it could short out, faulty wires sparking against memories and daydreams and general hormones. A sheepie he saved from slaughter snorts. Another, probably Mike, whispers, gross. There's a grunt that he hopes is the traitor catching an elbow from one of the others.
But it doesn't fucking matter. Because Steve whatever laughs, practically giggles at Eddie and his antics. And Dustin's rocket has come in for a rough landing.
I'm going to regret this, aren't I?
Steve's hand envelops the top of Dustin's head. He nearly palms it. It's not quite a noogie, more like he shakes his head for him.
Dusty bun, why would you regret introducing me to your dork mother?
I'm gonna tell Ma you're being a bitch again. She won't believe you. I'm her favorite. He shoots another wink toward Eddie. A joke he's being allowed in on. Level-headed Dustin Henderson, who explained to him in depth how getting overly emotional impairs higher-level critical thinking, stomps his foot.
You're so full of shit.
I am. She chose me. She got stuck with you.
Steve!
He laughs at the despair he's caused, ruffling cap-covered hair again, until Dustin stomps out of reaching distance to climb in the Beamer with the other boys. Brown eyes are bright with mischief when he looks to Eddie, and he's struck by a thought. He was right. He hadn't ever met Steve Henderson before today. This is not the same boy who sat in the cafeteria with a closed-mouthed smile, listening to Tommy H. and Carol.
Let me walk you to your car,
he asks.
It's right there, Stevie. And do you really want to leave that band of miscreants alone with your car?
He's playing with fire, but the fear of getting burned has never stopped him before. He leans in close, whispers.
They might steal it.
Steve pales, a haunted look in his eye. He shakes it off, squeezing his eyes shut tight, and that soft smile slips across his face again.
Let me watch you leave, then.
That smile slides into a smirk as he looks Eddie up and down. He was right about getting burned. His face feels like it's on fire as he flees the scene. His tail is definitely not tucked between his legs, because Steve is absolutely staring at his ass right now. He doesn't remember how walking is supposed to feel, but it's probably not like this. It would be embarrassing, the fact that he probably looks like a baby deer discovering he has knees for the first time, if it weren't more important that he make sure each foot is planted so he doesn't acquaint himself with the ground below him. Safely encased in the van, he chances a look through the windshields and confirms that Steve is watching him. He waves. And yeah, it is gratifying to see the guy who at one point had half the girls in school fawning over him duck his head like he's embarrassed at getting caught staring. Sinclair leans up from the back seat. Eddie watches him clap Steve on the shoulder and makes a comment on something. Probably him. It makes the rest of the car laugh, and Steve thunk his head down on the steering wheel.
The horn sounds. An echoing burst of noise that cuts off just as quickly as it starts when Steve jumps in his seat. The seat belt stops his jump short, and he sends another flustered wave Eddie's way when he notices him still watching. Maybe he'll mention this to Little Red. His new neighbor has mentioned stealing young Henderson's brother and making him a Mayfield instead. A joke that makes a little more sense now. Sinclair has been making moon eyes at her and Baby Hopper at lunch for the last week. That will be a better punishment than anything Eddie could do to him at the table. He waves back at Steve, gives him his most winning smile. The one he practiced in the mirror for charming pretty boys if he ever got out of the armpit of Indiana. Mimes driving like he's in a bad movie. Across 20 feet and 2 windows, he can't hear Steve laugh. Needs to get to somewhere where he can. He can see the smile, though. The dorky thumbs up. He lets the Beamer pull out in front of him. Watches it for just a moment as reality sets in. Reality. He is going to meet Steve Henderson for soft serve. It's a dream come true. Arwen shifts into gear, and he slides out behind Steve and the sheepies. A whole new world of daydreaming unlocked. Maybe next week, Steve Henderson will let Nancy pick the kids up. He'll slip in the back doors of the school, unnoticed by everyone. Stealth bonus obscene for a fighter class. Eddie is moving slow as he moves minis and graph paper maps into the tackle box Wynn gave him. Back to the door, and he misses his rogue slip through the door until he's already grappled. Was it a good game, Munson? You win? It's not like one of your sports, Henderson. The wins aren't as clear-cut. Hands start to wander. Isn't any time you pull one over on the party kind of a victory? In which case, I do stand victorious. Your sweet baby brother lost his brand new axe to a mimic. You know what we used to do after victory in my sports? A hand is migrated to an especially interesting place.
What?
We'd hit the showers. Eddie shakes himself out of the daydream, easing just the smallest bit harder onto the accelerator. He needs something to cool himself off with. He also really wants to see Steve again, to make up for lost time. The end. Author's Notes. Inspired by this post by Ruology. Tumblr post. Ruology. Dustin talks about his brother a lot at Hellfire meetings. It always garners a strange reaction from Lucas and Mike, but Eddie thinks it's kind of cute. He's a bit surprised he's never heard of Steve Henderson, especially since he'd have been in his second graduating class, but doesn't think much of it. After about a week and a half of Dustin moping around because his brother was off on a trip somewhere with... get ready for this one. This girl who definitely should be his girlfriend but isn't for some dumb reason. Phew. He bursts into Hellfire absolutely brimming with excited energy. Lucas smiles and explains that his brother, a word he says with an amusement Eddie doesn't understand, is getting back from his trip this evening and is going to come pick them all up after the session. Eddie follows them out to the parking lot later on, kind of excited to meet the older brother he's heard so much about. Only to stop dead in his tracks at Steve Harrington leaning against his fucking Beamer. Dustin screams and charges at him, and Steve just cheers his name in response.
They do some fucking complicated handshake that ends in a lightsaber battle, and then Steve grabs the kid and hugs and spins him in a little circle. Lucas and Mike laugh at the look on his face. He is too busy mentally combining the impressions he had of Steve Henderson and Steve Harrington together to notice. Reader's Notes. This podfic was recorded while on family vacation. I am in the hotel room. Everyone else is at the pool. I needed a rest. But I also just, like, needed to break my pod block. It's been 2 months and I haven't recorded a single word. I don't know. Something about getting out of the house, I guess, just broke the block. Thank you to Formosus Iniquis for having blanket permission to podfic. This was so cute. I love the outsider POV of the Steve and Dustin of it all. I just, the implications that Claudia Henderson did full-on, in fact, adopt Steve, and he won't even have to change the monogram on his bath towels. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and have a nice day. Like to get to know you well.